Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Filling. How good has the festive period been for football? Premier League games on our telly pretty much every single day, and we're going to go through all the best bits right now.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Right, Happy New Year, guys. Mark, Dave, I hope 2024 is a belter for you guys. We're going to start with Manchester United, Mark. You're a little bit deflated today, you are. We've already done United stand this morning, and Mark is a little bit deflated. I can sense it. I'm trying to gear him up. I'm trying to give him a bit more energy.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the game yesterday, Nottingham Forest, a 2-1 loss for Manchester United. It was a bit rubbish, weren't it?
I'm tired of it. I'm actually getting to the point where I'm drained of it, because it's like, you just saw us against Villa. We played really well for 45 minutes. And then it's like, is this going to be the spark to get some consistency? And then they just never have it. And it was just, I think a lot of United fans will relate to it. You sit watching that Forest game, you can see first 10 minutes, I was like, they're not at it.
Yeah.
You could tell they've not turned the tap on. They're not. I don't know why this happens, but they weren't at it. And then as the game went on, you just felt like West Ham the week before. At some point in the second half, Forrest will break on us, the space will be there, and they'll score. And then United sort of go, oh shit, we're losing, get back to 1-1, bit lucky, and then you think, there's only one team going to win this, and it ends up being Forrest, because they go and break again. And it's just, I can't believe we've got such a collection of players on so much money, and all you've got to do is outfight them. And they don't know how to defend it, and they don't know how to score.
What is the big problem with Manchester United?
Well, they keep losing. The stats are telling us they've lost 9 out of the first 20 games, which for a club that expects to be challenging, not only for the top four, to be winning things. That's the Man United we've all grown up with from the Fergie era. I just think they're so disjointed. They don't look like they're going to certainly score lots of goals, but defensively, we talk about the goalie time after time after time. I'm a little bit fed up in terms of talking about it. I think we all come to the conclusion that, for me anyway, letting De Gea go were a massive mistake. But they're not getting the continuity in front of him with the two centre-halves. Obviously, Varane and Evans yesterday. But Forrest looked a threat every time they broke at him. And when you're breaking with pace, attacking a back four that is disjointed, it's going to be tough for you. And as I said, like, I don't think the goalie fills me with confidence that he's going to make loads of saves for you. And when you're up against it, like United have been for season upon season, really, De Gea has kept them in the games and won them points. The goalie's not doing that now. But it's disjointed because there's no continuity from back to front or front to back. And I think it's going to be a tough season for them.
I think the trust's gone. You know, it's interesting what you mentioned about De Gea. I was told in the summer that when De Gea left, a lot of the senior players in the dressing room weren't happy with it. Yeah. Not to the point that they were against Ten Hag, but they questioned it and was like, hold on a minute. De Gea, last season, we built our season on the fact that you had De Gea, Martinez, Varane, Shaw, Casemiro, a unit that was something that everyone trusted and built upon. And obviously, with De Gea going and the injuries, that's just disappeared. And now you can see it. No one trusts the goalkeeper. You can't trust the defence because it's a different one every day. You got an 18-year-old who I thought was unlucky to get subbed off, or you got McTominay as holding midfielder. And the whole team's just, you look around and then no one believes in each other. No one trusts each other. No one's got each other's back. It's just, if the going gets tough, they bottle it.
But you see Ten Hag after the game, he's talking about getting players fit again in January. But you can't be bouncing it down the road when you're Man United.
No.
You've got to have a squad capable, when you've got certain players missing, when you're a Man United player, you've got to come in, you've got to hit the ground running, And look, I think Nuno's a good manager. He's obviously got some momentum early doors at Forest for sure. But Man United have to be going and winning that game. Yeah. If they're going to get anywhere near the top four, and that's not being disrespectful to Forest, they were the better team over the period. They deserve to win the game for sure. We talk about goalies. I think if they'd got a goalie who were of a Premier League standard, and it's not been overcritical of Matt Turner, I think they'd be in a much stronger position also. But United don't look like they're going to win that game.
I think Steve Cooper would have won that game. I don't think it's anything to do with Nuno. I think Forest would have won that
game.
That's a
couple of fantastic wins for Forest, by the way. Newcastle away.
That was very
Manchester
impressive.
United, a couple of massive wins, really pulls them away.
Yeah.
But quickly, sorry, I just want to go back to the David De Gea thing you said there a minute ago. And you're right, because you think that little unit that they had, like say Martinez, Casemiro, Varane, De Gea, it works, doesn't it? And then when a club like United offer him a contract and then withdraw the contract, you've got to remember David De Gea is all their mates.
Yeah.
And if somebody treats your mate like that, it hurts.
It definitely did. There was stuff going around last summer that it wasn't like we're against Ten Hag. It was more like, why has he done that?
Yeah, that's not on that. That's not on. That hurts. That sort of leaves a mark. And you just think, you've treated him like shit there. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. And I think, if you look at the way United defend at the minute, let's look at the Aston Villa game the other day, the first goal, for example, Leon Bailey standing by Onana, and even then, I don't think it has much of muchness. I don't think that, as a goalkeeper, it don't really bother you too much, does it, that somebody's there? You're like, it's fine, it doesn't affect what I'm going to do anyway. But when the ball is just about to get whipped in, I look at that Man United defensive line, and I look at the goalie, and I think, the goalie's basically stood under his crossbar. You've got the line is kind of, you can just see it wanting to drop, kind of. You can just see him just waiting to drop. And I'm thinking, if this is a good delivery here, this is carnage, absolute carnage. Anybody could get the first touch, anybody could get a flick. And the way that it goes, the goalie doesn't want to come for it one little bit. Nobody really wants to stick a head on it from fear of it just going straight into the back of the net. And the ball just ends up going in the back. And everybody, I'm just looking at thinking, somebody take charge here. Please, somebody take charge.
There are a bunch of individuals, and the funny thing is, last year, and loads of United fans will resonate with this, last year, someone made a tackle, high fives, fist pumps, chests, hugs. They were a real collective unit. You don't see that anymore. You can see Varane, you can see Evans, you can see the keeper. There's not a relationship.
Well, he got a little bit lucky early in the game yesterday, didn't he, Varane, when he sticks a leg out. And but like, normally, the goalie would be up to him there, like, you know, it's all right. But it just looked like, oh, he's left, he's made a mistake, we've got to wait. There was nothing within it. And I think that's a problem when you don't see that real team.
And I think you've got to look at Ten Hag for that. You know, he's only got himself to blame. He's broke it up.
Yeah, for
you know, the Mason Mount signing, he's made that signing, you know. The Antony signing, he's made that signing. There's a lot of problems at United, but unfortunately you can't not level some of it at the manager.
Before we move on, I'm going to talk about Man City in a minute. Watto, as a goalie coach, I want to... Matt Turner, the mistake that he makes for the goal, okay? I see a lot of goalies nowadays trying to play ball out from the back, and I'm thinking, whoa, that's asking for trouble, that is. That is close to the bone, that, right? Look, is that a Matt Turner thing? Is he trying to do that? Or is that the manager saying, you play when you can, and sometimes I need you to take risks and do that? How does that work?
Well, look, normally the goalie in that situation through the week's training will have been told, we're going to trust you, we're going to play. But ultimately, at that point, you're virtually on 80 minutes, you're winning 1-0, you've had a pass back from the centre-halves, and if you're being really critical, neither of them really split to give you an option to go wide. But the one pass that we all know is danger, that Man United are waiting for, is the one between the lines.
Yeah, right in the
and
middle.
He's already on his way, Garnacho. Yeah. He sees he's going to play it because the two centre-halves have not gone wide for him. And as soon as the ball's not left his boot and Garnacho's ready and he's on his way, and we talked about it a little bit off air, it's always going to be a tough, tough pass. But when you've made the mistake, don't stay behind your defender and let him curl it in the corner and not even get after it. Because you know as soon as you've made that pass, if they get this here, it's me. And you're thinking you're really going to double your efforts to make sure you're not getting beat. And the one thing that I always knew as a coach, when Rashford gets it on his right foot, he's going to use that defender to bend it. And I just hope for him, when you make the poor pass, that you read the finish and get after it. And ultimately, poor pass, he didn't get after it. But he made a save a little bit later on in the game, and they went straight up the other end and scored. And I have been critical of Onana for sure, but I thought the finish from Gibbs-White and the layoff, he's not saving that. We talk about the defender's body, but it bent it round the body and into the corner. And then he made a real big save from Bruno's effort from the corner, didn't he? Because that is a tough
deflection,
one.
Deflection,
You know, it's a decent corner because they think they're going to put it under the bar and whatever. And when he hits it and it's coming through so many bodies and and to be fair, normally it's hard to get your hand up there. Yeah. So I were pleased for him in the end. But I think for Forest, they're going to look to try and probably get a little bit better in the goals, you know.
Right, let's talk about Man City then. A pretty sort of straightforward 2-0 win for them yesterday. But what I think is Man City will have looked at this little festive period here and gone, this has been belting for us, this has. Teams are dropping points right, left and centre. We've gone away to the Club World Cup. We've won it. Brilliant, fantastic. Not that it means too much for clubs, I promise you that. It doesn't. But what has happened is they've got back, they've won their game, and other teams are dropping points. And this is the big problem going forward for the rest of the season.
But they got a nice photograph before the game, didn't they? They'd got all the five trophies there just to show Sheffield United that they're coming to a proper team. We'll have a photo taken with these trophies and off we go, guys. You know what I mean?
Good luck today, lads.
Good luck today.
Did they win that thing they went to then?
Yeah, the Club World Cup, yeah.
I didn't get a lot of... No one really took it.
Well, nobody really takes any notice because even Man City, I guarantee that it's just like, oh gosh, we've got to travel out there, play these two games, nonsense games, and it just gets in the way, really. It really does.
But the thing for me, so I watched the Villa-Sheffield United game, which were them two games prior now, wasn't it? Because Villa got beat at Man United. But Sheffield United set up the same, really. They go really deep, 5-4-1. It's tough to break down. And Villa, in the end, got a point after losing a goal in injury time and that. But you see City, without Haaland, they don't need to cross the ball in the box, do they? Because obviously you get it wide relatively easy. Yeah. But without Haaland in the middle of the box, they weren't crossing it in. And there were just little diagonal runs in behind. And Villa didn't have as much of that as against Sheffield United. So you're seeing that City have got the tools to break teams down in a different way.
Well, this is like City of old. So this is where, do you remember when Aguero would play? And you had like David Silva and Bernardo Silva and all those sort of players. And that's exactly how they used to just... Oh, they would just pass you to death and they would suck you in, and then they'd get it behind and they'd cut it back and they'd just slot it home. Yeah. And it's horrible to play.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather play against a current Man City team where they're putting the balls into the box and Haaland's just coming on and slapping it in than that old one, because they can carve you open.
But that's why I think it fell into the hands with Haaland not playing.
Yeah.
And they were so deep, Sheffield United. Like, I saw the Villa game live yesterday and Watkins off the ball, the runs, because Burnley were high.
Yeah.
Gave him the space to run. It caused Burnley problems. We're against Sheffield United. He'd got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And City didn't have anywhere to go. Villa didn't have anywhere to go. But City can find the solutions. Because without Haaland, it was just intricate passing and playing between the lines.
Yeah.
And on another day, I mean, Sheffield United really would be happy at 2-0.
Oh, 2-0. You're
walking away saying,
where's Fodringham?
We've had a good day at the office there.
Sheffield United, Mark. He will have finished that game yesterday going 2-0, thank goodness for that. That is genuinely, it's a result.
It's a win, yeah.
Especially when you're one of the teams in the bottom three, Sheffield United.
You're
coming away from that game and you're buzzing with a 2-0. And that sounds really bad to say, but I promise you, you could get done 6-7 so easily.
Absolutely, but as manager for Sheffield as well, they had two moments, didn't they, in the game. The cross came across and the centre-forward got in front of...
Kyle Walker blocked it, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a block, they got a corner, and they got a contact on the corner. That's what you're scrapping for when you're a bottom team going to Man City. Look, they were all over them and deserved to win. The question for us is, do they get back into the swing in January? De Bruyne gets fit, obviously, we're on the bench yesterday. Haaland gets fit, and do they go on this 30-game run that they normally
do? That's the worry,
and win the lot, you know?
That's the worry, isn't it?
Well, I think they are. They've always been my favourite, and I think that they are capable of doing it. But I'll go back like to the Everton game and the Sheffield United game. That's a penalty for Villa.
Yeah.
If they score that first goal against Sheffield United, you've won the game. That's not a penalty for Man City against Everton. That's not a handball. And I think that this league, Man City have been very lucky. And we all know what they're going to do in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And if I was Arsenal, Liverpool, Villa, I'd be going, Man City have been very lucky with decisions so far. VAR has had a big part in this title race. Liverpool have been screwed. I think Liverpool would have another 4 points.
Yeah.
Arsenal we know about, Villa last week. And then Man City just keep... I mean, it's not a handball. And they sprint round him like, what's going on, my bloody God? And he goes, it is a handball, it is. And you watch it back and you go, that wasn't a handball last week. That's not a handball. And that changes the game. It changes the game. So City have been very lucky. And I think you're right. The World Club Championship with Villa dropping points and Villa and Arsenal and Liverpool drawing. You do worry about Man City. They're such a tough watch. I don't like watching them. They're just so relentless.
Relentless.
Foden's brilliant at the moment.
This was a 3 o'clock kickoff yesterday afternoon, and I'm listening to the radio, and the commentator is just, he said, he read some stat out towards the end of the game. He said, Manchester City have had something like 790 passes, and it's a 95 or 96% success rate.
There were four short of the entire record that they had against Swansea so many years ago.
Yeah, that was
if they'd have known that, they could have just gone and won it easy.
Got a few more in there. And even he was saying, he says, and I know a lot of people will say it's boring and it's just predictable and you know what you're going to get. He says, there's no team in the world that can do this. He said, there isn't. He said, they are so head and shoulders above everybody. And when you've got players like a Phil Foden, who now it's sort of, it's like, players like him come in and out of form. Jack Grealish will come into form when it matters most.
Gundogan did it last year.
Phil Foden now seems to be that player, sort of player where he's getting goals as well as assists as well, and his movement. And even then, like you say about getting in behind and cutting it back, it's the movement from some of these players, the will to want to go and make that run. That's the bit there that I've just watched and I'm thinking, this is why, for me, I'm the same as you. They will be my favourites to go and win the Premier League. Simple as that. All right, you went to the Villa game yesterday, didn't you?
Yep.
You enjoyed it as well, didn't
you? Really good game of football. I thought both teams were excellent. I was quite impressed with Burnley. Burnley played 4-4-2 and really looked tight, organised. We know about Villa's high line, so they were always getting runners in.
Yeah.
But I was saying off air, and I know we talk about it such a lot, but VAR, I was there as a fan with my son, it just spoils the game. Mm. There were so many moments that the game just went dead for 3 or 4 minutes, and a goal's given, it's not given, Burnley get a red card, they go on a goal kick, flick on, try to play offside, Villa is in, scores, celebrating the corner, but we have VAR for 4 minutes. And in the end, the Burnley fans are, oh, it's a goal, thank you. It's two each. The moments are going for fans. And you talk about then decisions. In lifetime, I thought Stonewall penalty.
Yeah.
But when you watch it back, yes, he touches him at the bottom of his foot.
Tiny flick.
But it's a tiny flick. And is it ruining it? I don't know. But because you know...
Yes, it is. I'll give you the answer to it. Yes, it is.
But because you know they're going to put a still image on or a slow image and you can see him just flick him, it wouldn't knock anybody over.
No chance.
And it's going to be a penalty. And I thought Burnley were really, really, really unlucky to lose the game on a decision like that. And the moments didn't fall for them. I mean, Sanderberg, he gets booked on a second yellow. Well, I actually do blame Burnley on that. It's a throw-in in the middle of the field. He wants to let it run across him and have a switch, but it's such a pressing trigger for Luiz.
Yeah.
And when you're on a yellow and the whole pitch is open if you don't get the switch, it were crazy, but his first yellow's soft and it's actually on Villa's second goal. The ref don't need to book him.
In fairness though, David Luiz is a little rapid rat and he's nicked the ball and Sanderberg is big old youth, isn't he, kind of thing. And
well, what's he trying to let it come across his body for and switch it then when you're on a yellow?
I know.
But I really enjoyed the game and that's obviously the first time I'd seen Burnley live this year. And to be fair, whether it's because the tactics of the game suited them with Villa's high line, but they were always in the game.
Yeah.
But as I said on the previous bit, Watkins were incredible. But because he'd got somewhere to run, against Sheffield United, the last home game, when it were 1-1, they were so deep he'd got nowhere to run. Uh-huh. But here, they had a decent line, Burnley, in terms of up the field, and he made run after run, but clever runs, getting in behind. And that's why we had all the VAR stuff, because... His runs were very good. And same with Villa at the other end.
Yeah.
But it took a lot of feel out of the game. But ultimately, I mean, it were a magnificent win for Villa to finish like that.
He's incredible, that Watkins, as well. I mean, when you look at his combinations of goals and assists, and he's got eight now. Yeah. But goals and assists, I think it's him and Salah, miles ahead. He's almost become the Harry Kane of the league this year with his goals and his assists. I'm not saying he's as good as Kane, but these contributions, I mean, I was looking at it yesterday and Villa hadn't scored and I've got him in the Fantasy Premier League and then I saw he'd got two assists and I was like, you know, he's delivering, isn't he? But no, I think Villa... Having seen them a lot over Christmas, fantastic at home, crap away.
Yeah.
And that really bad away. Like Brentford, they would have lost if me hadn't got that red card.
One there, didn't
and
they?
Then United, they were dreadful, really.
Yeah.
The high line away from home is a problem, as we've seen it when they've played Liverpool and Newcastle. But at home, they're great. And I don't know, I mean, Emery's done such a good job, but is there a tactical tweak away from home just to grind a few wins out? Because at home... they'll get top four, but I've seen them away and I go, oh God, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde.
It's asking for trouble, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I think when you're away at United and you're 2-0 up at half time, I think you have to tweak it a little bit there, don't you? I think there's a way of playing football and say we're gonna stick to this religiously, yeah. But then,
well, the warning was there 10 minutes before.
Exactly.
We were doing it 10 minutes before half time.
We've spoken about it before on this show. Like, they've scored against United 2 set plays.
Yeah.
So the game itself has been dictated in the first half on 2 set plays, and obviously United be really poor at both actions. But you come in at half time and you're buzzing. But as a coach, it's such a dangerous score.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're feeling it, and you know if they get one, the momentum's coming against you, and you know that you're really pleased, because I think Villa are very, very good at attacking set plays for sure, and they did some clever work yesterday the same. But it's a dangerous score at any time, and man, you had to do something. And as soon as the first one went in, that's the thing. And you're up against it at Man United. But I'm like you. I think Villa at home have been phenomenal, but they have to do something slightly different to make sure they're keeping that top four.
Can they get Champions League? Are they still the fourth favourites for the Champions League, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. We've had this chat, isn't it? I mean, what we're talking, Spurs, Villa.
Yeah.
Forget United.
Yeah.
Forget
Newcastle
Brighton.
Have fallen off massively.
Newcastle are going to have a horrible January. Yeah. Chelsea are probably too far off.
Yeah.
So I think it's Villa or Spurs. And I mean, it's great. I'm really pleased it's Villa or Spurs because they both deserve it. But probably Villa.
Yeah, probably Villa.
I think probably Villa, just because I think he's a manager that's loving being back in the Premier League. He feels he's at the right club. They're backing him. They maybe do some business in January. But I think he wants to show the world, if you like, the manager that he's capable of.
Mm.
And I think he's clever enough to be able to make the tweaks we're talking about away from home to get enough points to get in that top four.
What do you think?
No, I think Spurs.
To tell you what it is.
Spurs.
It's interesting because they're both, it's almost like the manager who just decides to be a little bit clever away from home. Because Ange, again, he wants to play that high line. And
same,
I just think, go away. It's a bit like you used to play for Sir Alex. And he I think probably around the time you were there, maybe you could take credit. In the latter years in Europe, he'd just go away and go, you know what, I don't care how we play. Let's be tight.
Yeah.
Let's get a 0-0.
We'll beat anyone at home.
And we'll beat him at home. Maybe neither of them will do it, but I would look at it and go, Villa are not good away, and Spurs have been done a few times.
Yeah, I think just Spurs, just for when they get their injured players back. I think Madison's due back in January. There's a couple of players due back. I think they might just be all right.
But transfer window's massive as well.
Transfer window's massive, but everybody's looking for that player, mate.
Yeah,
everybody's looking for the same sort of players.
Newcastle,
and there's
Chelsea,
only a few that can go around. Incidentally, a quick stat for you. That was Aston Villa's 26th win in the calendar year of 2023. 26 wins. Only Man City have won more games. That's Premier League as well, by the way.
Here we go then. Who is manager of 2023, taking into account the two half seasons?
You've got him here.
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be.
It can't be anybody else.
So,
there would be second, wouldn't it?
So next Monday, obviously it's FA Cup weekend next, but we're going to do a halfway team of the season. Okay, we're going to do a halfway team of the season on the Football Fill-In. And I think my manager already, I'll give you a little spoiler, I think it might have to be Unai Emery.
It has to be.
I think it has to be.
The year calendar is phenomenal for a team.
It's him or Ten Hag with me.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we're easy win then.
Yeah, it'll be an Unai Emery team, so we're going to play a high line, all right, is what we'll do, okay?
Aussie shout out, Hugo Lloris, mate.
Oh, yeah, big shout out, Hugo. Lovely little move for that for you. LA FC. Oh, that's what dreams are made of. That's what dreams are made of. Oh, my God. 35 years old, living out in LA. Oh, well done, mate. Absolutely buzzing for you. Proud of you, mate. You've been an absolute servant for Tottenham.
If you need a coach, I'm available to come to LA.
Watto's good to go. let's talk about West Ham, you lot. West Ham, still in Europe. They have had an unbelievable festive period. They've beaten some incredible teams. David Moyes is still getting pelters all over the shop from West Ham fans. God knows why. But it's been some sort of a Christmas for them, hasn't it?
Yeah, I watched them against United and I thought I didn't think they played well against United, actually.
Yeah.
I watched that. It was the day before Christmas Eve, wasn't it? On the lunchtime game. And yeah, I thought they didn't play very well at all. And then United are just crap. And then they got their goals and they won the game. But against Arsenal, I thought they were brilliant against Arsenal. Yeah, I thought they were well organised. Organisation. They counted well.
The defence was incredible.
Yeah, they lost Paqueta, who was a bit iffy and then went off. But their transitions were good. And I think even, you know, I expected Arteta to moan because of the, you know, the ball had gone out. And I don't think he could. And he didn't, because I think he was like, well, I can moan about that. But ultimately, we didn't deserve to win the game. So thought they defended brilliantly. Two clean sheets as well. Yeah, they're a funny team, West Ham. And I don't get why some of their fans don't want Moyes. He's won them a European trophy. They've sold Rice for 100 million quid. They brought that Alvarez in from Ajax, who I always knew was a good player at Ajax, a bit like Antony. But you look at how Antony's doing, and then you never know whether they're going to do that well, like Van der Beek. He's been brilliant. Jared Bowen is a striker. I like that. That works.
I love it.
So I think to criticise Moyes when you, I mean, it's not just route one and we're good at set pieces. But I loved it. I loved it, the second goal, because I was doing a watch along and I went, we're probably looking at one of the best set piece takers in the world.
Yes.
Goal.
Just like, so simple, eh? Yeah. But like, I worry for West Ham fans, what do they want? 4 years ago when he takes charge, the whole mantra was, let's make sure we're in this stadium, not in the championship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's grown from the top half, easy.
Yeah.
They're playing in Europe. They've got used to this 3 games a week section. They're building a squad good enough to do it. He knows the league inside out. They've made some really good signings. Got the stadium. I think they've got the team. They've got the manager. I mean, what, 6 in the league? In Europe?
3 points behind Spurs and still some West Ham fans are moaning. It's ridiculous.
But what do they want?
Yeah, exactly.
What do they want? Come on, it must be a dream time to be there.
Man for man, they're not. You know, their defence ain't that good, man for man, when you look at it. You're not going to want to buy any of them. But
do you know what? As a unit, the way they defended, I was watching that Arsenal game, and I was trying to explain to Louis, actually, because we went to watch the Liverpool-Arsenal match a few weeks, like, it was the same day, the 23rd, actually. And the amount of times that both teams had time on the edge of the box, on the edge of the 18-yard box, 20 yards, 25 yards out. And I said, look, you see how much space and time Odegaard has got? He can pick out. I said, it's because both teams really like to attack. They really like to go for it. And we were watching this West Ham game against Arsenal. And I said, look at Arsenal when they get to the edge of the box. Said, there's nobody there. There's no time. There's no space. And I said, that's because West Ham are basically, they're not camping, but they're a very organised unit who won't go gung-ho and just go and attack. So they know that they'll just sit in there. And then talking about the likes of your James Ward-Prowse, imagine that. Imagine signing someone like James Ward-Prowse and knowing that every single set piece you'll get, he will put it on the money for you. So if you've got willing runners and people who want to attack the ball, it is a dream come true, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, here's a stat about James Ward-Prowse for you. Like, you know, what a great season he's had. He must have played thousands of minutes, loads of assists. Calvin Phillips called up for 3 England squads before Christmas. Guess how many minutes he's played for?
7!
89 minutes for Man City. 89 Premier League minutes.
Absolutely. My God. Anyway, West Ham and all you fans out there as well, get behind David Moyes. He's the man, honestly. He's the man.
They're not going to challenge for top four, though, are they?
I wouldn't have thought so. They're the sort of team who can go on a 2 or 3 winning game run and then, but then lose 2 or 3 at the same time, sort of thing. But they'll be fine.
I'd assess them to get in the top spots for a European campaign next year.
Yeah,
whether they win it or not.
I'd say top 10 this season is going to be.
Got to watch out for Wolves. I mean, I know we don't want to talk about Wolves, but bloody hell.
We can talk about Wolves.
Well, if they've not had the points off bad VAR, they might be in the top 4.
They'd be top.
Well, Tom, you're a big Wolves fan. How happy are you being a Wolves fan at the minute?
Yeah, absolutely buzzing.
Absolutely buzzing. What he just said there. They are.
They must have dropped about 10 points from VAR.
Has killed them like it would be. Gary O'Neill has done so well this season. Not only the way that he's got this Wolves team playing, but how he's handled all of the bad VAR.
Neto injured as well.
Think about the question you asked earlier, if we're having a manager of the year. Kept Bournemouth up last year, without to Wolves this year. Yeah. So him and Emery are probably the two that have been the main.
That's a good shout, actually. I think we need to throw him in the hat next week in the Team of the Year nominations. We need to get the Bournemouth stats from end of last season, Jamie. This is for next week. And then the Wolves stats for this season. Stick them all together and see how many
David Moyes wouldn't be too far off, considering a European trophy.
Yeah, he won't be too far. Right, quickly, want to talk about Luton. A bit of Cole Palmer talk, and then we've got the quiz. Can't wait for this. Luton. Home form is going to be important for them. The game against Chelsea yesterday, it was a funny one. Obviously, you know, 3-0 down, you're thinking this could be a whitewash here. But fair play to them. They stuck to it, didn't they? They kept going and they could have nicked something in the end, couldn't they?
Well, the way they played at 3-0, you think it's finished.
Yeah.
But I think because they're always, especially at home, trying to be on the front foot, get the ball wide, get the cross in the box, Chelsea, in the end, didn't like it, did they? I mean, they hit the bar twice, didn't they? The goalies made a couple of good saves. And on another day, but in this league or in any league, you can't be 3-0 down. That's the problem they had. They were never close enough to get to it.
If they'd have done that earlier, they'd have gone straight to that, putting the balls in the box and really putting those defenders and that goalkeeper under pressure.
Because they'll look at the goals they conceded, and I mean, the first one's so avoidable. I mean, you pass it straight to him on the edge of the box. It's a great finish, for sure. The second one, again, transition, and again, it's a high finish, tough for the goalie. But the third one, everybody's now calling him Cole Palmer because he waltzes around the goalie and puts it in with his right foot, could have done whatever he wanted. But they're real poor goals for a team like Luton to concede at home. But I think on another day, and if they keep it tighter with the momentum they've got, they're going to cause teams problems because Premier League teams are not used to just balls thrown in the box like that.
Cole Palmer, by the way, 8 Premier League goals for the season. Mm. 8 Premier League goals for the season. That's some return in a Chelsea team who aren't exactly ripping it up this year, are they? Do you know what I mean? You compare that with some of the players Man United have signed for a lot of money that have gave you absolutely zero returns on goals or assists. That's not a bad start to the Premier League life for Cole Palmer.
He called himself Cole Palmer, though, didn't he?
Well, he's the guy that was next to him. Who was it, Jay?
We can't ask the quizmaster that question because he's not going to get it right, is it?
Anyway, he basically said, this is why we call him Cole Palmer. And then Cole Palmer literally went, yeah, that's why I'm Cole Palmer, isn't it? And I think he said it like that a bit.
That's
as well.
It.
Well, you've got to have a bit of arrogance about you, haven't you?
I mean, he has got a bit of arrogance.
There's a lot of arrogant footballers out there that don't deliver. If you're going to deliver, that's absolutely fine. Maybe he's a bit of a prat off the pitch, but so what? You know, but going back to Luton, they ain't staying up.
Do you still not think
so? No, because I had this chat over Christmas with someone. I said, put me someone else in that bottom three other than Luton and Sheffield United. Forest have just won 2 on the bounce. Yeah. Everton have got themselves out of it.
Yeah, but
Bournemouth are playing great.
Everton have just gone Brentford
for me has been the big surprise of the league. The 19 points from 19 games. And I just think their home form, the way they play, I would have expected them to have accumulated a bit more.
Yeah.
But because of Everton's 10 points, I still believe they're going to be safe. But they've now lost 3 on the spin.
Yeah,
I mean, Wolves turned them over yesterday.
Battered them.
It was a proper performance, wasn't it? And even though they've done so well, they've now lost 3 on the spin, Everton. Mm. And all of a sudden, you're back in the mix. Luton have got a game in hand of them, and it could...
We're only away next week for Luton as well, by the way. They win that, they jump over Everton.
Well, that Sheffield United Boxing Day. Back in it. Sheffield United Boxing Day game when they came back and won was massive.
Massive.
If anyone's going to do it, I think it's Luton, but I just don't see who's going to... They're all so wily, aren't they? Bournemouth and Everton's. They know what to do. Palace.
Even Palace, I think it was their first win in 9 or 10 games or something yesterday. But when it mattered, it's against Brentford.
The one thing I want to talk about just quickly before we do this quiz, and I'm feeling good today, but the second goal for Palace, I watched the game and the commentator said it were a good dummy. Mateta tried to control the ball and he let it run under his foot and he's just lashed it in. He said that's a good dummy. Oh my God. I've never seen anything like it. It's a pass into his feet and he bloody missed it.
He just missed the
thing. And he said, what a dummy. It's the best action of the weekend. Oh my God.
The quality of commentating in 2023 has not been that good.
Seriously. It's the best action we'll ever see.
All right. And with that, I think it moves us nicely onto the quiz, boys. You ready for this?
Yeah.
By the way, scores and doors. Oh, look at this. It's getting tight, by the way. Mark on 6. I've got 5 wins to my name. And Watto, 3. God knows how he's got 3 wins.
Don't you worry about that, my friend.
Right, Jamie, let's kick 2024 off with a world-class quiz, please, my friend. We good to go?
We are ready to go. 10 questions on the doors.
Let's
go. Ready?
Yeah.
Who scored their first Premier League goal for Manchester United in their comeback win against Aston Villa on Boxing Day?
Hoyland.
Hoyland. Correct answer.
Did you say first goal for Manchester United or first Premier League goal?
It's his 6th goal for United and 5 of them in the Champions League with 5 appearances.
And he's ill now. He's ill.
5 of them in the Champions League against Farmers teams.
Sorry.
I can't read it, but he probably can. What? I can't read it, really.
1-0.
Not without my glasses on.
Question 2. What was the name of the first black referee to take charge of a Premier League game for the first time since 15? in 15 years.
I even read the thing.
It's since your Ira Rennie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Simpson, I was going to say something.
Sam Allison.
Oh, Allison. Yeah, I like where you got Simpson from, though. I like it.
I remember
like
reading it. The bloody thing.
Simpson and Allison. Simpson and Sam Allison. It's nice.
Do I get half for that, Jake?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Good for getting that one, though. That'd be good.
Can I have half point?
No. Question 3. Which player scored a hat-trick this Boxing Day? Which player scored a hat-trick on this Boxing Day?
Oh, God. I was too drunk.
Come on, lads.
Oh no, is it too much?
Chris Wood.
Yes! Dancer.
I knew it, and I couldn't think of it. But I got it.
Oh, that's bad.
Only the 7th player in the Premier League history to score a hat trick on Boxing Day.
Oh, you're bad.
Good stat, that Jay. Yeah. That's going to keep you as quizmaster for at least another week.
Get in there.
Thank you. 2-0 to Ben. Question 4. Former Ballon d'Or winner Andriy Shevchenko is from which nation?
Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was bad.
You're struggling to get that question out. I didn't know where you were going with it.
I was just stalling it.
Than a snail's turd today.
Oh, my God.
I am absolutely... I said it to you, didn't I? I said I'm not going to do well
you
on
did,
the quiz.
You did,
I know, but you're talking yourself out of it.
3-0 to
and
Ben.
And you said Ukraine then as well.
Same thing, innit?
Question 5. Who is the only winner of the Premier League who has a surname made out of only Roman numerals?
This is a question and a half, this, Jay.
Who is the only winner of the Premier League who has a surname made out
of... I'm going to go G-X-I.
No.
It's not a bad guess, though.
It's not a bad guess, no. So play for United.
No. That is bang out. I get to come back in then if he's going to say that. Yeah? Deal?
Mark Summer.
No.
Deal.
It is a deal. You are back in, Ben.
I think you're laughing because you know it's a duffer.
This is going to piss me right off. David De Gea, it's not him.
Vidic. V is 5, I is 1, D is 500, C is 100. Vidic.
Never would have got that.
Well, I ain't so sure, but we'll go with it.
You got that at home, well done.
Sorry, guys.
There'll be some right geeks going, I knew that one.
Who played FIFA?
Fucking hell, I was never going to get that. 2025, I'd still be trying to get that.
I love it, Jay.
Hardest question of the year?
Yeah.
For sure.
Question 6. Who were the only team to be holders of the Europa League and the Champions League at the same time?
Chelsea
is the correct answer. In 2012, Chelsea won the first Champions League, and the following season with Rafa Benitez, the club won the Europa League on the 15th of May, giving them the Champions League as the Champions League final was on the...
I get it.
Okay, Jay.
You have to explain it, it's not funny.
Okay. Overall story, they had it both for 10 days.
Yeah, put the card down, we get it.
What's it about being safe for another week?
I know, mate. Honestly, we might have to edit that, Jiminy.
You're doing a great job.
I do try. Mate.
You're doing a fantastic
mate,
job.
Mate, the questions
keep those up a bit there because he's cheating.
I'm not. I'm purposely looking over there.
What's the scores?
3-0. 3-1 now.
I might get better soon because I had my eyes tested on the 29th, and unfortunately, I've now got to the stage where I'm going to have to get some spectacles.
You're so old, you are. You're so old.
I know, but there's no chance of me seeing the answers. If he put it there, I couldn't see it.
Right, come on.
Anyway, come on. When I get glasses, I'll be better, Jay.
Yes, you shall. X-ray vision. Oh. Question 7. What was the name of the first woman referee in the Premier League?
Sean Massey.
She was refereed the other day.
I read this.
Luton Sheffield.
I don't know. I can't help you.
Karen Smith.
No. Rebecca Welsh.
I didn't know. I knew it was... Yeah. Sorry, Rebecca.
Yeah, sorry, but...
I don't know, but then again, what do they say? If you don't know the name of the referee, they're doing a good job.
Yeah, true that, yeah.
If you don't know... We're out. See if Doug is out that one.
Question 8. Career path question.
Are you good at these?
Gets me every time, sorry. I have played for Metz B, Metz, Red Bull Salzburg, Southampton,
Mane,
Liverpool, Mane is the correct answer.
Well done.
If it's a Southampton question,
yes,
you've got it.
Well done.
Thank you.
And the scores are 3-1.
Needed that one. Well done, mate.
That's questions left.
Oh, we can get level, don't you? Come fret on. Yourself.
Question 9. What is the only team in Britain to have a J in their name?
Wow.
What is the only team in Britain to have a J in their name?
There's a name I want to say, and I know it's not because it starts with a G.
I'll give you a clue.
No!
St. Johnson.
That's
crazy. Come on!
All I had in my head was Gillingham. Gillingham. And I was like, it's not Gillingham.
Oh my gosh. What? I was on my toes.
Right, I've got to stay quiet here and out the
No, yeah, that's you've got to play by the rules. No. If you know the answer, know the answer.
I can't do it.
Hey, there are no rules.
If you can try and shaft Ben, Mark, try and shaft.
Shaft him hard.
I'm going to say hard.
Just Daniel
Lights. Listen, if I know it, and I'll go, if it's like Chelsea, I'll go, ch. And then you go, Chelsea.
This is ridiculous. Yeah.
Or Gillingham.
Yeah.
Gillingham.
Question 10. What is the name of Bayern Munich Stadium?
Allianz Arena.
Yes! And I knew
he's
that one.
He's got it, the comeback.
I knew that.
See how excited he was for me? Hey? He's been loving you.
He said the Allianz Arena. It's Allianz.
Where's the line?
Stop all the bollocks, right? I'm sweating now, pal.
Tiebreaker.
Allianz Arena.
But as the third...
We'll spell it if you want.
As the third party, I'm happy with Allianz. Because
the answer's correct, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's correct.
Billy Big Bollocks from 3 up, eh? It's a bit like Chelsea yesterday. Luton have come back on your coattails, buddy.
Yeah, and they fell short as well, and that's what you're going to do as well.
St. Johnson's really upset you.
Really good answer, that. I like it. Right, I'm sitting up right now.
I know, you've got your shoulders. I'm out of the fucking set here.
Yeah.
Don't let him bully you.
I know.
Final question. Tiebreaker. Who scored the winning goal in the 2014 World Cup final?
No.
You were both there, weren't you?
Who scored?
Was it Otto?
No.
He's got it right. It's Germany, won it, though, didn't they?
Why? That's so bad. That's so bad.
That is...
Oh, my God.
No, don't look around. No cheating.
They scored... Oh, I don't know. God, I can see. All I can think of is the...
Don't you have?
No, the Brazil game. I can't remember the final.
8-0.
Yeah.
It wasn't 8, it was 7.
7.
Yeah, Watto won't get this.
No, I ain't got it. It's Götze summer. Mario Götze.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God. It's a Luton 5 back. Come on. No, come on. Look at me.
This is a disgrace.
It's not a disgrace. I deserve it for getting St. Johnson to get to that stage. Come on.
You on a guess.
Got, sir.
With the help of Mark, maybe, in that tiebreaker.
Don't worry about it. I could have had half earlier, couldn't I, in the day?
You could have.
Jay, have I won it?
You have all.
Yes! Come on, mate. What a new year it's going to be. Come on.
Can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
You were too cocky early in the day, mate. Hey, get the scores changed. 4 for Watto. Come on.
The first winner, 2024.
Yeah.
Right, the new scores on the doors are 6 for Mark, 5 for me and 4 for Wide. What a disgrace of a quiz.
What a fight, Mark. Luton, you've got a chance this year. Come on.
All right, you've all enjoyed the show. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope you've had a wicked Christmas. Jamie, questions were shambles this week.
What do you mean?
Shambles.
Sacked in the new year, Jay, eh?
See you next week, you lot. Team of the year. Halfway team of the year next week. Sorry. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
It is technically next year.